Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, get your Bible and go with me to Hebrews. I'm so excited about getting into the book of Hebrews. And of course, we've been there for a long time, and your Bible probably all automatically fall open to the first chapter of Hebrews. Today, we're going to a wonderful message. I've already heard it and preached it a couple of times, and I want you to know that every time I minister this message, it really goes down on the inside of me. It's just as important to me as it is to anybody. We're talking about dealing with your enemy today. That would be the title if you're making notes, and you should be. Dealing with your enemy. A lot of times, most people that attend American churches don't even know they have an enemy. They have no concept of the fact that there's problems and pressures coming against them specifically for a certain reason, and that's to knock you offline with God, to keep you hindered, to keep you down, and keep you out. A lot of times we go into a church service like this, and probably most of you that are in here don't have a concept that there's an enemy out there that wants to stop you from being anything God wants you to be and that He paid the price for you to be. And sometimes we live a life of ignorance as Christians. Instead of dealing with our enemies the right way, we don't deal with our enemies at all. Let's talk just for a moment. Let me read the verse to you because I want to share with you how it works. But before I read the verse, let me bring you back to an understanding of what the book of Hebrews is all about. Are you listening? Here's what Hebrews is all about. The writer of Hebrews, of course, is God under the inspiration. The man is writing under the inspiration of God. So it's God speaking to us. And he's writing for a specific purpose. And the purpose is that these people in this area, in this time, were doing the same thing that oftentimes we do. They were literally exalting other things before Jesus Christ. They would put up and put an importance on the priesthood, put an importance on Moses, put an importance, if you will, on traditions and rituals that the Jewish faith had had for all of these years. They had put an importance on the areas of prophetic utterance that came from before instead of putting a real importance in their heart about who Jesus Christ is. And this book is dedicated to showing how great, how preeminent, before any, above any, and beyond anybody, anything else, is Jesus Christ. This book is just as valuable today as it was when it was written because it's the heartbeat of God. And oftentimes, in our own lives, we put a lot of things before God, and we find ourselves failing and wondering why, because we haven't truly, if you will, truly gone after God the way we should. And the writer of this text is saying how great Jesus is and how worthy He is to be preeminent in your life and every decision-making process that you make. They even thought of angels as being greater than God. They thought of Moses being greater than God. They thought the priests were greater than God. And that's what this text is operating about. And the expression that's coming forth is a fascinating expression. As I read it to you, it talks about Jesus. But I often say, as I look at the Word of God, if that's about Jesus, and it is, and how wonderful He is, and it brings my heart to a place where I'm excited about having a great relationship with such a wonderful God. But what does it really mean to me? And that's how we approach the Word of the Lord, because the Word of God is written to show you how great God is and to show you how wonderful Jesus is. But what does that all mean to you? If you don't go that extra step, then you stay just on how great God is and never fulfill the plan that God has for your life. And that's what we're looking at today. Verse number 13 of the first chapter of Hebrews says this, "But to which of the angels has he ever said?" In other words, here's the Father, never said this to any angel, but he says it to his Son. He says, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." And I want you to understand that now he's making a statement. He says that Jesus Christ has been spoken and placed by God the Father in a different position than an angel. Angels are fine, that's great, but here's Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and he says, I will now make your enemies your footstools. Now, what the concept of is, how does that relate to you? Because we can say, praise God, isn't that wonderful? Jesus is great. Jesus is victorious. We all know that. We all believe that. That's not a problem. But how does that relate to you? The difference is you've got to get a concept of this. The concept is that you are in Christ Jesus when you get born of the Spirit of God. And if you're not, we'll take care of that in a moment. But you are in Christ Jesus. In other words, listen to what the Bible says. Watch me now. Look at me now. Look, 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 look. Watch me now. We know that Jesus is the head and you are the body. Jesus is the head and you are the body. Therefore, if the Father puts the enemies underneath his feet as a footstool, then the enemy is under your feet as a footstool. Are you getting that? Let me say it again. If the Father puts underneath Jesus his enemies as a footstool, because you're his body, and at the bottom of your body is your feet, and you are the body, then he is also put your enemies underneath the feet as a footstool. Let's define the word enemies for you. I want to give you an illustration of enemies that's so important for you to see. Oftentimes we think it's just the devil. We're not talking about just the devil. Is that okay? Even though here in this text it's talking a noun meaning of spiritual principalities and powers. But we're not talking about the enemies. There's enemies of your soul. There's enemies of yourself. Did you know at times you can even be an enemy to yourself? With your own thinking and logic and ideologies and philosophies and all those areas, you can be an enemy to yourself. And I want to define the word, if I may, enemy to you. And I want you to hear what it says, because this comes out of the James Stephen Cobray San Bernardino Easy Brain Understanding Translation. Is that all right? Enemy. Anyone or anything that, listen to these words, builds up resistance to God's righteousness. Now stop and think about this. I'm going to leave it up on the overhead just for a moment. And I love this. Anybody or anything, yes, principalities, yes, powers, yes, demonic activity, but also anything that stops the very and resists the very righteousness of God that God wants for you and I to walk into is an enemy. Oftentimes we don't see it as enemies. Oftentimes we see it as just ways of life. So the way it is, it's the way I think, it's the way I do things, it's what I do. But if it keeps you from the very righteousness or resists the righteousness of God for you to walk in, let me tell you something. You need to now start perceiving it as an enemy. Why does God want you in the righteousness of God? When you are in the righteousness of God, you are blessed. God loves you so much, he wants to prosper every area of your life. If God loves you so much and cares about you, he wants to bless you in every area of your life. He wants to bless your future. He wants to bless your children. He wants to bless the generations that follow you. He wants to bless every area. He loves you. And when he loves you, he tells you the way to go, which is his way, which is righteousness. And everything that's an enemy will try to resist that, so you don't go that way and get blessed, but you go your own way or some other way and find yourself cursed. And God is looking for a people to understand that an enemy is anybody and anything. Sometimes we blame people. Let me tell you something. People are not the problem. It may be demonic stuff behind the people. They may be used as pawns. Your boss is not the problem. Your mother-in-law is not the problem. Your ex-wife is not the problem. They may be used demonically to come against and resist and keep you from entering into the righteousness that God has for you. Because when you enter into the righteousness that God has for you, hey, you get blessed. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. So if we have an enemy, it's that which would try to keep us from being in that righteous place, doing those righteous things that bring blessings to us. And most of the time, listen to this, we don't even recognize them or understand them or see them as enemies. We, oh, I hate this word, tolerate them. And they never go away and become part of the issues of your life. instead of dealing with them as an enemy. Is anybody listening? Anybody understanding what I'm trying to say? I believe it's good. First of all, let me show you something about how you're the body of Christ. In Ephesians, I'll just pop these up on the overhead for you. Ephesians 1:22 says he's put all things underneath his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So all of a sudden now you see he's talking about the church, and Jesus is the head of the church. And if Jesus is the head of the church, now watch verse number 23. Verse number 23, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. If he's the head, and he is, and you're the body, and you are, and he's put all enemies underneath his feet as a footstool, then you need to have the approach also the same way that all enemies are underneath your feet. Anything that would keep you from operating in the fullness of the righteousness that God would have you to walk in so that you could be blessed should be considered and dealt with as an enemy, and therefore you become victorious in those areas. Now, you're in a war, you're in a battle, you might as well understand that. If you ever noticed when you read your scripture that you got saved and you're enlisted in the army of God. You weren't enlisted in the army of God just to be a cook and do nothing. You were enlisted in the army of God as a soldier according to the scripture. And therefore, if you're in the army, guess what? We got a battle to face. I want you to take a look while you're there in Ephesians. Let's go again to the 6th chapter of Ephesians, and this time verse number 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of darkness in this age and against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. Obviously, there are spiritual things that are trying to come against you. And now, let me tell you something. What we do all the time is we blame everything on the devil. And I don't have a problem with that, but I think sometimes we need to look at ourselves too. Because sometimes we allow things to happen in our life. Sometimes our own bad thinking brings in stuff. Our own lack of faith, our own lack of seeing the importance of having a relationship personally with God, literally lets demonic things keep on going. And we need to deal with some of these issues ourselves. Because why? They're evil. Why? Because they're resisting your position in the righteousness of God that'll bring you to blessings. Is anybody listening? Now listen to this. You not only have a battle ahead of you, but you have a war to fight. Did you know that? You may not like this. A lot of people like to get saved, not have any problems, but it doesn't work that way. I like what it says in 2 Corinthians. If you go to the 10th chapter. In fact, let's just pop it up on the overhead, starting in verse number 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, and don't we? Yep, we do. We do not war. You ought to circle the word war. According to the flesh. In other words, we're in the physical, but we don't have a battle that's in the physical. It's spiritual. You just read the verse before that. And then it comes along and it says this in verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare, you ought to circle the word warfare. You're in a war. And if you think this is just going to get you free because you sit there and you're nice and you're sweet and you're kind, you are misunderstanding the position that God has taken with you, and you'll never get results until you understand some things. And he says this is the weapons of your warfare, not physical, carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of those strongholds. Strongholds are things that are in your life, issues that are in your life. It could be thinking, it could be the past, it could be where you're at right now, it could be things you don't hold on to, has nothing to do with demonic stuff. It's a stronghold that maybe you're holding on to that keeps you from the fullness of righteousness that would set you free and operate in the full blessings that God has for you. Are you listening to me? And that's called an enemy. And so when God says, I have made your enemy, not an angel, I said it to Jesus, your footstool, and we're the body, he's the head, then this war we're in, wow, we are now in a place of realizing that we have got Jesus, the same blessings that Jesus has. Well, it brings us to an awakening and awareness. Three things that God quickly gave me to give to you today. Now, I could go into all the weapons of your warfare. We could do all that. It's very important for you to know what they are. We could go into all the different kinds of battles in the faith. And all. It's all very important. We never can underestimate that. But I have three simple things that God gave to me about the enemy and how to deal with them. Is that all right? Three simple things that you and I have got to get a concept of and walk in and have faith about. Number one, I love this. you already have the victory. Now, you got to get a picture of this because you won on the cross 2,000 years ago when you got saved. You know, Jesus saw you as he went to the cross, the Bible tells us. And he knew you'd be in this place at this time. Jesus doesn't come and fight your battles for you now. He's already fought the battle. You've already got the victory. My Bible says you're more than a conqueror. You know what more means? In other words, you don't have to fight. You just get the reward. And Jesus has already fought. He has already won on that cross 2,000 years ago. Therefore, every enemy is his footstool. And if you're the body, then anything that tries to resist, listen to this, the righteousness that you are to live in and walk in, to be the fullness that God would have you to be, my goodness sakes alive, that is something you got to get a concept of. We just can't go along and just think about, well, where's God, and pray and wonder why God hasn't come through. And what, we have already got the victory. You have to have that kind of an attitude. The attitude is, devil, you are already defeated. Flesh, you are already defeated. I don't need to give you any. Thinking you can be controlled by the power of God that dwells on the inside of me. I don't have to put up with this anymore. I have the victory. I'm not waiting for the victory. I have the victory. And spiritually, you may not have it physically, which we'll talk about in a minute. Let me say it again. You may not have it physically. We'll talk about it in a minute. We'll give you part number two to this. But guess what? Spiritually, you have the victory now. And if you don't have a concept of that, then what happens is you're always looking for something to happen. And it doesn't happen, and you wonder, and you give up, and you can be discouraged with God. I like what Jesus said. Go with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus is talking to Peter. And as Jesus, 16th chapter, did I say 6th chapter? 16th chapter. Jesus is talking to Peter. He's referred to as Simon Bar-Jonah. He's referred to as Simon Peter. And Jesus is talking to Peter, and he asks Peter this amazing question. A question, quite frankly, that is asked you every single day. You just don't hear it in these terms. Every day this question's asked to you. You don't hear it in these terms. The question is, Peter, Jesus says to him, who do you say I am? Because your answer says how well you deal with your enemy. Peter answers, you're the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Jesus looks at him and says, wow, you didn't get that from man. You got that from the Father himself. Did you know that your insight to God and your heartbeat for God comes from God, that God gives it to you? That's what makes so cool about being a Christian. Listen to the words, if you will, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, starting, if you will, in verse number 17. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I love what it says in verse 18. And I also say unto you, in other words, because you know I'm the Christ, I'm going to say something else to you. He says, I also say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock. The rock there is the revelation that Peter had that Jesus was the Christ. Listen to me. Let me say it again. Upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? The rock that Peter, listen to this, had a revelation that Jesus was the Christ. And he says, upon that revelation that Jesus is the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates, you see the word gates, circle it in your Bible. The word gates means the governments of hell. Those that come up with a plan, those that come up as an enemy, those that come up and push you and put pressure on you, those that are governing hell, listen to this, of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, you see the word prevail, have victorious. Victorious acts against it. The only way you don't have the victory is if you don't know you have the victory. The only way that you don't have the victory is because you don't know and believe and act like you have the victory. And we miss everything when we don't do that because there's no faith involved in it. Which brings us, fascinatingly, I love this, to this next verse, verse number 19. I will give you the keys, Peter, of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus always had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And he even, in the book of Revelation, he goes and he snatches the keys of death and hell from the devil. But the keys of the heaven, keys of the kingdom of heaven, he has. And he says, I'm going to give them to you. And what you bind on earth, I'll be bound in heaven. And what you loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. And you know what God just said? I've given the authority on this planet to you. Can you imagine the church that believes that Jesus is the Christ? Gates of hell shall not prevail or have victorious over us. In other words, we have the victory, and what you bind and what you loose on this earth will be bound and loosed in heaven. You have the spiritual authority on this earth. Most people don't know that. And you've got to come to a place that you already have the victory. Somebody ought to give me an amen. It's fascinating. Because that brings us to number two, dealing with your enemies. Number one was you already have the victory. But I like number two a lot, dealing with your enemies. Here's what number two is. How simple is this? You must hang in there. You got to be patient. Sometimes you don't see the results and you give up and quit. Sometimes you just pray and expect some little magic wand to be waved over your head and you didn't get it. But I'm here to tell you something. God's going to come through for you. And you got to hang in there until He does. The victory spiritually is already yours when you say it. Physically it's coming and it may take some time. And you're going to have to hang in there. I found out something as an older man. That we're dealing with an enemy who's full of pride. In fact, if you know the Lucifer, who is Satan, as you know him as the devil, was cast from heaven because of his pride. He wanted to exalt himself above God. In other words, because of pride, what's pride? Self-centeredness. What's pride? Egotisticalness. What's pride? Self-serving. And he was cast from heaven because of he was self-directed. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. And where there's pride, there's ego involved. And I found out that when I stand and I keep on standing and I'm not giving up, I'm not backing down, I'm not backing off. The Bible says when you've done everything to stand and keep on standing, I found out the devil sees I'm not going to move. And guess who moves? He moves. Because he's full of pride and he doesn't want to be shown up. Are you hearing me? So when he finally realizes, but can I tell you something? Before the time that you start to make the stand and he finally realizes you're not moving, he's going to bring everything against you so that you don't hang in there. So many times people have given up one day before the promise was coming. The Bible says you and I have need of patience that after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise. We need to hang in there, knowing assuredly we have the victory spiritually and physically it's coming. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's not going to be an enemy that's not going to... I'm not under the enemy's feet. The enemy is under my feet. Somebody give me an amen. I like this verse. I got this verse out of Romans, the 16th chapter. You ought to check it out with me. Go there and check it out. Romans, the 16th chapter. There's this neat little verse. And it says this in verse, starting in verse number 19 here. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to someone. And he's writing this. And he talks to them and he says this. For your obedience has become known to all. That's kind of neat. That ought to be the mantra of all of us. Your obedience has been known to all. Now watch this. He says, therefore I am glad on your behalf. But, everybody say but. Transition and thinking, listen to this. I want you to be wise in what is good. Circle the word good, you might as well just put the word godly. None good but God. He says, I want you to be wise in what is good and simple. You see the word simple? The word simple means innocent. In other words, where there is evil, concerning evil, he says, I want you to be pronounced innocent. That's kind of a cool verse. But the next verse is really neat. Are you ready? Verse number 20 says, and the God, if you'll do those things, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. When? Shortly. Under whose feet? Under whose feet? Under whose feet? You ought to be yelling mine. Under whose feet?
Mine.
When? Shortly. In other words, you already have the victory. It just hasn't manifest, hadn't come to pass yet, but it's coming. Hold on. Are you following me? And how sweet it's going to be. How sweet it's going to be. You know, the Bible says there's a formula to defeating the enemy. You know what it is? It's found in James 4, chapter verse number 7. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. He's a prideful thing. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. You can't resist the devil unless you submit to God. You submit to God because the verse before that, you're humble. Resist the devil. Didn't say give in to him. Didn't say start talking to him. Didn't say make a pact with him. Resist the devil and he'll flee. So it's submit, resist, and flee. That's the way it is. Submit, resist, and he'll flee. Submit, resist, and he'll flee. Come on, do it with me. Submit, resist, and he'll flee. Oh, come on, get involved. Everybody do it at the same time. You can do this. I know you had your Starbucks. You were here. This is second service. Are you ready? Here it is. Ready? Submit, resist, and he'll flee. It's the way it works. How simple is that? But you're going to have to, number two, hang in there. Why? Because you already have the victory spiritually. Which brings us to number three. And I love number three. We're talking about dealing with your enemies. Here's number three. Get away from the enemy. Sometimes we hang around with them. Sometimes we communicate with them. Sometimes we let them to talk to us. And we listen to them. There's an enemy of your soul that wants to tell you things that are contrary to the righteousness that God wants you to have. And it resists the righteousness. And if you don't get away, you will become part of. My dad used to use an expression, birds of a feather. Let's try it again. Birds of a feather. And if you're going to hang around, evil won't be long before you're doing evil. I want you to know one of the problems that I see in Scripture is not that Eve made a mistake in the garden. Of course, that's the major problem. She partook of the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. And her problem didn't start when she partook. Her problem started when she communicated. The moment she started talking to the devil knew that he had her. The moment she started carrying on conversations of discussion with the devil is the moment the devil knew she would partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Her problem that ended up partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that put all of mankind in trouble, her problem started with conversation with evil. And we need to stop hanging around, get away from evil. I want you to know something. Anything and anybody that keeps you from the righteousness that God has for you is evil. Could be a simple thing. Sometimes issues of our life, eating, drugs, pornography. Oh God, deliver me from pornography. Let me get online and check it out. Doesn't work. Oh God, I just want to get free of that. And you get right back into it. Oh God, I'm free, but I'll hang around people who aren't free. It won't be long before I'm not free. Listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm on a quest with God. I'm not on a quest with some diet program. Jenny Craig has no authority over me. Tried that when I was young, ate the food, spit it out, said I'd much rather be fat. But at my age, I'm constantly on a diet. I live all my life on a diet, or I would be enormous, because I love to eat. And I've lost 10 or 12 pounds. I've got another 30 to go. And I'm going to do it because God showed me how to do it. I talked to him. He told me what to do. And I've been disobedient a few times, but I've been pretty good most of the time. And I have 30 pounds to go. My refrigerator talks to me. It has a demon in it. It has chicken. You know how you like chicken with lots of mayonnaise on a sandwich with lettuce, salt and pepper, and throw some avocado on there. And my mind works it all the time. My mind thinks about it. I said, I'm not doing it. I'll go lay down on the couch, watch a little television. I hear it calling to me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I hear it calling. You have to come to a place where you're not going to have anything to do with it. Because see, me getting heavy keeps me from doing my job of righteousness. Keeps me from 6 times a week at 65 and a half years old preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keeps me from worshiping God like I know I should worship God with excitement. And from my heart and from my life and my body. Keeps me and stops me from being, it stops me. It's become an enemy. And I need to deal with the enemy by getting away from it, not entertaining. The Bible says in James, the first chapter, that lust entertained. Entertained means you're thinking about it all the time. You're now not getting away from it. You're into it all the time. Breeds sin, and sin breeds death. It starts off with your thinking process. And it's an enemy that keeps you from being what God's called you to be. It keeps you from being the woman that God wants you to be or the man that God wants you to be. It keeps you from being all the things you could have been by simply dealing with an issue, by getting away from that which is keeping you from the things that God has for you, which is righteousness. Every single one of us can identify with that. I like what it says in Romans, the 12th chapter, 13th chapter, verse number 12. Let's just pop it up on the overhead because I'm out of time. Watch this. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works. Our responsibility, if you're waiting for God to get it out of your life, He's already done that on the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago. You need to now take authority over it, and you need to get away from it. Cast off darkness, the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. It's your choice. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse number 5 says this, cast down imaginations. Oh God, clean my thinking up. No, God says you clean it up. Cast down imaginations that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't entertain it. Don't talk to it. Don't talk about it. Don't let it be in your life. It's contrary to the righteousness God wants you to live. Get away from it. I won't put this up on the overhead. 1 John 5:18 says, keep yourself. James 4:8 says, clean your hands. In other words, you have the responsibility to get in here and make it work. Why? Because Jesus is the head and you're the body. Why? Because the Father has made his enemies his footstool. And because he's the head and you're the body, therefore you already have the victory. Therefore you need to be a person that understands that you need to not give up, but to hang in there. And you need to be a person to realize that you need to get away from that which is contrary to the ways of God. That's what Scripture says to us today. All of us that are in here, you're going to either let the enemy rule you, or you're going to rule the enemy, and it's your call. No one else's. You have the victory. You must hang in there. Get away from the enemy. It's your call. If God spoke to you today, give him a great big praise the Lord. You know that? Isn't that good? Woo!
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.